Good morning. Everybody doing well this morning? Good, good. You can have a seat. You can have a seat. Wow. Who was that?
Somebody's on it.
It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you're here. If you need some more seats, we've got plenty of seats. For some reason, apparently, this part has got the cooties.
I mean, there's
this
three
morning.
Rows right
it's
here.
It's like the cootie section. So if you're not afraid of the cooties, we've got them right here. And you can come get them. It is good to see you this morning. This morning's going to be a special morning. We're going to do some different stuff. And just want to kind of talk through some stuff just this morning about who we are. We're taking a break from I Am for a couple of weeks. We'll come back to that. Kind of done this before already in the series. As you kind of know, we decided just to let this series just kind of be its own thing and just roll as it needs to as we study about God. But we want to take some breaks throughout it to just kind of talk about some things that God was putting on our hearts. And this morning, he's definitely put some stuff on our hearts. Many of you know Joey. Joey Boykin is our exec pastor. We don't have him up on stage a whole lot. And we won't get into why that is or anything, but this morning we've asked Joey to come hang out for a little bit. And just so you know, just kind of way back in the beginning, kind of a little bit of just kind of, you know, going back and thinking about the beginning times of 24 Church. Back in the very beginning, it was I and Aaron. This is probably not correct English. I don't know. I never can get that stuff right.
It was you.
Aaron and I. It was Aaron and I.
And I.
As soon as I said that, I knew that's what it was. Aaron and I and Joey. It was the three of us that were 24 Church. And for about a year, it was the three of us that were 24 Church. And many people don't realize that, but we spent about a year before we ever met as a church planning and praying and just seeking God about what this thing was going to be like and what God was calling us to and all that stuff. And so Joey was with us on the very beginning of all that stuff. And, you know, our call then, you know, the reasoning behind this was a very scriptural basis. I just want to throw this passage of scripture out to you. There's two passages I'm going to share with you this morning. And the first one is this passage out of the book of Matthew. Many of you have heard this before, and it's known as the Great Commission. And it just says this. This is like Jesus on his way out, like, you know, before he leaves the building and he's like, peace out. This is what Jesus says. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. He's saying, I have the authority to tell you this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And just so you can kind of know, God just put it on us that there were lots of people that were not getting reached just because of style. You know, people are so, you know, bent on, you know, what style they are. And I was finding myself really, like, you know, like, not butting heads, but just, I mean, just like, just, I was going, God put in me, I knew, this is so hard for me to say, because it was such a frustrating moment in my life when I came to this place, and I knew that even like where I was at serving at the time, which was a wonderful church, had tons of resources, but yet ceased to reach this whole group of people that was going unreached. And it was just because we just weren't going to change the style. And there's a lot to that. There's a lot for an existing church to be able to change the style. It's not something you just do overnight. You can't do that. And so that's when God really began to put this in my heart. And Joey came into the picture and we began to talk. And so from the beginning, our call has been kind of this way. But even just here recently, Joey himself has been, you know, doing a lot of the business and marketing. That's his degree. That's his skill. He used to do marketing for Cracker Barrel and everything. And so, you know, from the get-go, we kind of went at this as a, you know, we gotta get these people to see that we want to do something fresh, but the message is still the same. But Joey's position with us is kind of morphing into something else. And Joey, I just want you to talk for just a minute about what God's doing in your heart there.
Sure. When we started this, you know, we all had to just do things out of necessity. I mean, Chris was our pastor. I had to pretty much, in the beginning, take on a lot of other things, including like bookkeeping and things that I really have no business
Which
doing.
He does a really good job of bookkeeping, by the way. Yeah. Go ahead.
Those are not necessarily things that God called me to, except at that time he did, but those were things that I did out of necessity. And that's really true for all of us A lot of times there's things that we've got to do out of necessity, not necessarily because we're called to do it, but because it's got to be done. And that was, as part of, as being executive pastor, that was, that's part of my duties is to oversee those things and the administrative role. And I don't know, I'm just not, that's just not really me. But I've been there and I've been doing it. But I kind of feel God calling me into kind of in a different direction. And when we first started this church, the church plant, when we first started 24, I mean, to start a church is a missional call. It's not just a call to move to another church, to become a preacher somewhere, but it's actually, you're going out as missionaries into a community that needs a new church. And that's what we felt. Basically, we're being missionaries to what we call the I-24 corridor, basically between Clarksville and Nashville and all the areas in between, specifically Pleasant View, Cheatham County. And it's just as Chris explained, just an area that does just really didn't have a whole lot of, you know, different type churches. And, you know, hopefully we're starting to fill those gaps. But as I look at where we are as a church, we've done a great job of really inviting people into church and to making them feel welcome when they're here, maybe even getting them into a home team, educate them. Hopefully people have grown in Christ. Hopefully you and your family have been here for a while. You've been growing in Christ, and that's awesome. But one of the biggest things that I feel like we haven't done a good job at is reaching the community. And these scrolls here, I call them scrolls, they're just rolls of paper. When we first started the church, this is the first ground level part of it. We were sitting in a church planners class, Chris, Aaron, and I think I got that one right. And we just had to jot down within a matter of a couple hours what our church will look like in a year or so when we start planning it. This is, I'm not going to read this to you, but this is our mission statement that we created that day. And one of the very first things it talks about is being culturally relevant and talks about will become a community center. And, well, I think we definitely do some culturally relevant things here at 24 Church. I mean, our music is maybe a little bit more culturally relevant than some others, things like that. We've done kind of a poor job of actually becoming an outward-oriented church. We're an inward-oriented church right now. We do a great job, like I said, of fostering to the people that when they come into the church. But we've done, I feel like, a poor job of reaching out to the community. I mean, there are, believe it or not, 10,000 people within a five-mile radius of where we sit right now. And of those people, you know, somewhere along the lines of 70 to 80% of them don't go to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe even that figure may be even higher than
86%.
86%, Chris said. So, I mean, we have got our work cut out for us. I was in HG Hills the other day, and you know, you sit here for 2 or 3 years and you think, well, we've reached pretty much everybody we can reach in this community, but every person I looked around and saw, and the store was packed, was people that have never darkened the doors of our church. And now they may go to a church somewhere else, but the good chances are that they don't. And we need to make sure, and I want, as my position morphs into this other position, which something along the lines of pastor of culture and community, is basically a missions position, where I want to make sure that I kind of become a liaison between the community and the church. And, you know, I can identify areas of need in the community, identify who our community is, and what our culture is in our community, and kind of help the church and the staff kind of adapt our ministries to fit those people. And I'm going to need help in this. This is just in the beginning and growing stages, but I'm going to need help with ideas. You know, I need the pulse and the heartbeat of our community. And that's where y'all guys come in. Y'all are those people. Y'all are the community. Y'all live in the community. You live and go to the store with these people and work with these people. I need to know, and the staff needs to know, what that pulse looks like. I mean, we've got an idea from our perspective, but we need an outward perspective as well. We need a perspective of somebody that says, hey, these people are hurting. We need this type of, you know, for instance, I sat down today. I had lunch with Carl, our police officer here at the church with us. And, you know, he let me know that there's not a a shelter or a safe place anywhere in Cheatham or even Robertson County for, say, battered women or something like that. How about the fact that we don't have a recycling program in Pleasant View? And we're supposed to be kind of a hip up-and-coming town, but we have nowhere really for people to bring their cans. Those are things, now, you don't can't really see how they, maybe not at first, can't really see how they affect the God's kingdom. But if we reach in and not necessarily let culture envelop us, but actually we go to culture and help create culture. We're the ones starting the recycling programs. Those are ways that all things that we can do to really in the future affect God's kingdom.
This is a missional mindset, and this is how we started the church. When we started the church, we did not say, hey, let's start another church like other churches. We said, hey, let's go be missionaries to this area, and let's do what will reach those people. And let's forget what we've, you know, recognized in church in the past for the most part. Let's hold on to, you know, Scripture, and let's hold on to what it tells us to do. But as far as the methods, because people get theology and methodology mixed up. As far as the methods, let's forget all that and let's rewrite the methods as to how we do this. We need to go ahead and move on from this. We'll talk some more a little bit about this later. I want to invite someone to come up and hang out with us for just a few minutes and talk to us about what she's going to be doing this next summer. Megan Bradley, if you would, come on up. Everybody give Megan a hand. You didn't dance as much as I thought you would. I've seen you cut a rug. This is Megan Bradley. For those of y'all that don't know Megan is an incredible, incredible person.
Like do everything.
She literally does do everything. You want to talk about somebody that's willing to show up on the scene and has a missional mindset. The missional mindset that she carries with her is this. She shows up and she does what needs to be done. Don't you? I mean, she can't deny it because she has done almost a little bit of everything when it comes to set up, tear down, students, kids, helping with worship stuff. She'll do anything except get up and speak normally. And I pigeonholed her into coming this morning to just come up here for a few minutes and talk with us. Megan, I want you to share with us a little bit about what's going on with you next year.
Okay, that's pretty simple. I can answer that question. Basically, starting in January, I am taking a year to do ministry in 11 different countries. I'm going with the same organization that I went to Africa with 2 summers ago. So we're starting in January, and we're going to go all the way through November. I'll be back like right before Christmas. And there's 43 of us all over the United States and Canada, and we're just going to meet up with pastors and missionaries and do whatever ministry is available for us to do with them.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, Joey, you got a question for Megan?
Well, I mean, what's the real reason you're going? I think, Chris, what's the real reason you think she's going over? I mean,
is it true that you're going because you've dated all the guys at 24 already, and you're going over there to look
this
for another
true.
Man?
Is that?
That's exactly right. I've dated every one of you in here between 18 to 25. No, just kidding. I haven't dated anybody since high school.
let me just kind of put this into perspective for you. She's going for a year. She's giving up her life for a year. She's not just giving up her next year. She has sold, and I'm not lying, she has sold everything she owns to do what she's going to do next year. Now, I want you just to ask yourself for just a split second. And I know you're probably thinking, well, she's single, and she, you know, forget that.
I am available.
If God spoke to you and said, I want you to go and do something for me, could you do it? Because I see people struggling with just even, you know, answering the call to serve, you know, and help somebody park a car or something. I mean, this is a huge, huge deal. Huge deal. Joey, go ahead, man.
So what kind of, how many countries are you going to now?
11 different countries.
11 countries. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. What kind of stuff do you think you'll be doing there as far as ministry-wise? What, can I explain that process,
sure.
What it's going to look like?
Well, it depends on what country we're going to be in, obviously. Basically, we're just going to go into the country, and whatever the pastor or the missionary that we're teaming up with, whatever they have available for us to do, that's what ministry we're going to be doing. Whether it be working in an orphanage or doing AIDS programs or relief work or building a church or doing street ministry, whatever it is, going into the red light district and hanging out in bars and talking to prostitutes, you know, whatever it is, that's what we're going to be doing. And then the second part of the trip is where we get to ask the Lord, okay, what is it that you want us to do or that you want us to do as a team? And we have a chance to go out and do whatever ministry that we feel God is leading us to do while we're there.
Very cool.
I mean, with like 11 countries, I mean, which countries are you talking about? Are you talking...
We start off in Peru. We're actually doing relief work in Peru because there was a natural disaster there in September. And then we are heading off to China, India, Egypt, Thailand, 5 different countries in Africa, so just everywhere.
Cool. Very cool. What have you had to do to get ready for this?
Okay. We had a 2-week training in September, which was in Atlanta. And during this whole process of, you know, this past couple months, it's just been reading a lot of books and having a lot of prayer meetings with the people online, just reading up on the different countries that we're going to, fundraising, that's always a fun part. And then we also have another 2-week training at the beginning of January that will also be in Atlanta.
How much is it costing you to do this?
$15,000.
$15,000.
I don't have $15,000.
So you're going to... You've been raising money toward trying to complete $15,000,
yes,
including selling everything that you've had to do it,
yes,
to go do something that you won't get paid to do.
Right.
Are you almost there? Or you have, how much?
I only have about $6,000 right now, so 2 months to get the rest.
Beautiful, beautiful. What? Tell us just real quick. This thing. What's the name of this thing? It's called
the World Race.
The World Race. Mm-hmm. What is that?
The World Race is. People always ask me, okay, what is the race aspect of the trip? And it's not really a big part of the trip. It's just one day out of the entire month where we go and we compete against the other teams. Like you have tasks or a scavenger hunt that you have to do in that country. And you get rewarded for it if you win. It's things like you get to sleep in a bed and have a hot shower, which we won't have. Or you get to go out and eat a good meal while everyone else is eating peanut butter and jelly or a bowl of rice. So things like that. It's just one day where we just go out and try to get something luxurious for ourselves.
Cool.
Tell me, though.
This is probably the most important question.
Really, really though, I mean, you're what, 20?
23,
young, single lady. Why would you do this? I mean, seriously, I mean, why would you go without showers? And why would you go, you know, almost hungry? What's the point? Why would you do this?
Well, if you know me well enough, you know I really don't care about the showers. Or but besides that, or shaving my legs or anything else. No, I'm just kidding.
That's too much information for the single guys, but go ahead.
Just trying to keep them away. But anyways, when I was 14, the Lord just put a desire in my heart to do missions. From the very beginning, it's something that I wanted to do. I definitely had a heart for doing things here in the States, but there was something about going to a place where people didn't have the truth and going to a place where it was poverty-stricken and things like that. And so ever since then, I've been going on these trips, and God has completely changed my life through going. And for the reason that you talked about earlier, the Great Commission. You know, I love to teach the gospel. I love to bring truth to people, particularly just the truth about purity, talking to prostitutes and talking to girls who just kind of give themselves away. And I said this earlier before when we talked, you know, purity is something that we in America, we just kind of give away, and it's not something that we value very much. But over there, a lot of the times it's stolen from them. Because it's sex trafficking and the whole prostitution deal. So it's my heart's desire to go and just bring truth to them and even just to give them one night so they can see the worth and value that they have in the Lord.
Awesome.
So.
Cool.
I mean, this is something. When I talked about earlier about kind of us becoming more of a missionally-minded church, I mean, that's something we've got to do and we're going to do as a church. But that's just not locally. It also is something that we wanted to expand an arm on foreign missions and missions that are not local. And Megan is going to be an ambassador for us there. What are some things that we can do, Megan, to help you as a church? I mean, of course, you said something, you still need $6,000. But what are some other things, along with the money, what are some other things that we can do to help?
I need prayer partners, and this is where I want to, this is like the biggest thing that I want to ask from the church today, because, you know, I can ask, you know, my friends or some family members to pray for me, but half of them aren't saved anyway, so, you know, prayers of a righteous man availeth much, so it's you guys that I want to be praying for me while I'm gone, so I'm definitely needing prayer partners while I'm gone. Obviously, I'm needing the finances, monthly support.
If someone can help financially, how can they do that?
Yeah, just after the service, you can come talk to me. I have little sheets that you can fill out. Everything is tax deductible, so.
We'll put you on a stool over here, right here by the speaker.
Sure.
So people can, after service, we'll kind of away from the speaker because they can hear you talk.
Sure.
But yeah, that'd be great. This is an excellent opportunity for us to be involved with something, and you're probably thinking, no, maybe I can't do that. I have children, I have, you know, whatever. Yeah, you do. And I do too. But God still calls us to do great things. And sometimes he calls us to do great things through other people. And so I'm asking you to pray about how you might personally, your family or you as an individual might be able to personally be able to pray for Megan, financially support Megan. 24 will be doing so. I think it's just a great thing. And Megan, you're awesome. You really are. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning. Stay. I want to pray for you. Let's just pray for Megan right now and just lift her up. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to get to partner with Megan and what you're calling her to do. God, I pray, Lord, that you would continue just to work in a mighty way in her life. God, that you would use her in all of these countries that she's going to be in. God, you have done so much through her already in the lives of people here, but already even in the lives of people overseas. God, continue to do that. God, I pray, Lord, that you would provide every dime for Megan. And God, I know for a fact she is not doing this, God, so that you would bless her, but God, I pray that you would. I pray that you would show blessing on her in such ways that the rest of us can see how you work when we bow down our lives to you. God, just use Megan to just impact this world and the communities that she's going to go. And so that when she comes back to our community, God, that you can use her even more right here. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Megan. You can have a seat. I just so the band can hear me say this and everybody else, I think we're probably going to run just a few minutes longer today than normal, so just, you know, don't be freaked out by that. Guadalajara will still be there, along with all the other great Mexican restaurants. Love talking about food during church. People always talk to me about it afterwards, going, why did you bring that up? We want to go ahead and bring somebody else up here in just a second. You know, to kind of go with, you know, what we were talking about on the very beginning of this thing, just even with our church kind of transitioning itself into trying to get ourselves in a position to do more with missions. Just so you know, one of the things that's going to have to happen for that to happen is us to put our money where our mouth is. And what I mean by that is I mean, like, with our church budget, in the past, we've always tried to designate 10%, a tithe, if you will, toward missions. And I just want you to know that as a staff, we are 100% in line with feeling that God is calling us to do more than that with the percentage of our budget.
And that budget is kind of part of my deal right now, and I'm be glad to get out of it. But part of that, though, is it may mean us giving up some things that we enjoy right now. I mean, unless something happens and giving just completely changes over the next year, for us to put, say, an additional 10% into missions, then we're going to have to cut 10% somewhere else. And there are some places that we've identified right now that we can cut, but there are also maybe some other things that may hurt a little bit more.
And we, you know, there are a lot of needs. A lot of people join in here. And if you're a new person, I'm saying this for you more than anything. A lot of people show up on the scene and they go, man, they've really got this junk together. And it's a lot of people coming. And you know, the median age of our church is so far below age-wise with where most churches are that our giving shows that. Our giving is not like the giving of a church that runs 250, 300 people a week. It's just not there. And so therefore, we don't pay. A lot of people think we've got all these staff members. We don't pay these staff members. We've never paid you a dime, and you were one of the first people. You were one of the three, for heaven's sakes, you know. I mean, this man tries to sell real estate to make a living, you know. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. And the rest of these guys are the same way. I am the only what you would consider full-time guy. And even at that, we make a bare minimum. And I do a little something on the side to try to help make the bills and stuff for us. There are needs. We got needs, and I want to take care of these guys in the near future, not long, far-off future, but in the near future, I want us to take care of these guys, just like Paul says in Scripture to do. But this missions thing is very important to us, and we believe that it's one of those things that God will bless, and He's going to take care of us for being obedient to Him to do what He's called us to do. So with that being said, I want to introduce a friend of mine this morning that I'm extremely glad is here with us. He is in visiting. Mr. Dale Braswell, if you would, give Dale a hand.
Some kind of way out of here.
That's what you're going to be saying to yourself right there. There must be some way out of here. That's why that's your song this morning. This is Dale Braswell. Dale, why don't you just tell us who you are and how we're connected and all that good stuff. I'll just let you get into
it. I was the guy that replaced Chris about 5 years ago at Inglewood Baptist in Nashville. And my wife, Tina, is back there in the back, and so you can say hi to her. She doesn't like to be up here. But we are originally from I'm originally from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and Tina is from Houston. We met in college and came up here about 5 years ago, so I've been a student minister there for a while now.
Have you ever figured out why she married you?
No, okay. Not at all. Married up.
A lot of us have wondered that. Dale and I have become good friends. It's a crazy thing. Some pastors are really weird. You know, I mean, you've probably met some weird pastors anyway. Well, I mean, you're looking at one, but I mean, like weird, like how they like act toward each other and stuff. Like some of them are really weird with like their, I don't know, they're like territorial, and I mean, just all this stuff. And I have no use for people like that typically, and I just kind of shun them. Anyway, the cool thing was when I left Inglewood and I had poured my heart, you know, we'd poured our heart and soul, Aaron and I had, into being there and being with those students during that time of our life. When you do that and then you have to walk away, it stinks. I mean, it's like the worst thing in the world to have to walk away from people that you love because, God, you know, I mean, God's calling you to do something else, and that's great, but it stinks to have to leave those people. And so when God called Dale, it was so awesome that Dale and I were able to start beginning to build a relationship, and he was there with these kids that we loved so much, and they've been ministering to them since then. We'd since been to Collierville and since started 24 Church during the time that you've still been there, and that is a huge thing. The average stay for a youth pastor at a church is 18 months. And there's a lot of reasons by that. We won't get into that. But we are going to get into what is going on with Dale today. And Dale, you're going to have to leave your kids now. Our kids, your kids. And it's because God is doing something awesome in your life. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what God is calling you to do?
Yeah, it started about a year ago. Tina and I started to feel like God was starting to bring to a close our time at Inglewood, and we started just praying about that. Didn't really have a timeline or a direction, and it was during that time that God just began to open up doors and open up our hearts to the idea of pastoring a church. I didn't like the idea of pastoring a church just because...
And you shouldn't. You really shouldn't like the idea.
This is going to sound really great coming from what I'm about to say, but anyway, you know, just didn't see myself just going to another church on the corner of some other intersection and becoming their next pastor. And God really started to open up the idea to us about church planting and starting a church. And it was during that time that God just began to confirm that with just different speakers and mentors in my life. It was also being confirmed through God just beginning to give us more and more of a vision of what that church would look like, how it would function. And it really just began to consume, as Chris knows, everything. That's the only thing I could think about. I was writing out notes, pages and pages of what this church would look like. And then it was also through all this process that we saw the need for church planting. A lot of times, even in the South, we think that, oh, well, we've pretty well made a good impact in the South. But the truth is, there is still a tremendous need in the state of Tennessee and all throughout the South, and especially across the nation and across the world for churches. And although I applaud guys like Billy Graham who lead crusades and short-term mission projects, I believe that the way that the gospel is going to be spread among the nations, as Scripture calls us to do, is through starting churches.
Come on. So. Come on with that. Tell me, how did you know that you were called?
Well,
was it me at camp going, yeah. Dale, when are you going to start a church?
Yeah, pressure from others. No, it was honestly, it's kind of like one of those things, how do you know you're in love? You just kind of know. And that sounds really cheesy, but it is true as far as it was something that God just began to burn a desire in our heart for this adventure and for this journey. And so it was something we just couldn't escape. And every time I went to Scripture, it was something where God, every passage of Scripture, it just seemed like God was calling us out to do this, and it was confirming this over and over again. And my simple prayer was, Lord, if you want us to do this, increase this desire. And if you don't want us to do this, shut it down and lead us in a new direction.
Where are you going to do this? Is it up here in Clarksville? Or?
No, a little bit further northwest. We are actually looking to go to Seattle, Washington.
Wow.
That's what most people say. Whenever we first announced Seattle, they're thinking somewhere here in the area.
Because you're from there, right?
Right, no.
Because all your family's there, right?
No.
Because all your friends are there?
No.
Because you spent a lot of time there over the years?
No. Three visits. So
why? Good coffee, why? Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even like coffee, so tell me what that's all about. I do like grunge music, so that'll help. But anyway.
Why Seattle? Seriously.
Yeah, basically, this was about the same time that God was calling us to church planting. We ended up hooking up with some good friends of ours that I went to college and seminary with, and they told us about, he was a youth minister in Dallas. This guy, his name is Tim Corbin. He decided to go up to check out a possible mission trip for his students in Seattle, and while he was there, God ended up calling him to start a church there. And so as Tim was telling me all these things, he wasn't trying to sell me or do a spin job or anything like this. He's just telling us what's going on in his heart. And the only thing I know to say is my soul kind of came alive. And I actually felt jealous. I thought, this is what I want us to be doing. And so we basically went home, and I got on the internet and started looking up Seattle and checking things out. And again, in the same way that the desire for starting a church grew, this thing was parallel growing. And the desire just continued to grow and grow and grow. It was also during this time that we found out that Seattle is probably one of the most unchurched cities in the nation. Seattle-Tacoma has about 4 to 5 million people, and a whopping 4% of those people are evangelical Christian. And so you can do the math and realize very quickly that they have a huge need. Our denomination, Southern Baptist, has about a whopping 150 churches for those 4 to 5 million people, and most of those churches are averaging 50 to 75 to maybe 100 people. So there's just a tremendous need up there, and that, coupled with, you know, we like the Northwest. It doesn't rain as much as people say. It's a beautiful area.
It's a great cultural hub.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You know, Seattle is home to Boeing and Microsoft and Amazon and Nordstrom's and of course, Starbucks. So it's a cultural and kind of a technological.
Nirvana.
Yeah, Nirvana.
Yeah.
So we can relish that later.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, what about, is there a specific part of Seattle? Why don't you talk to us about that?
Yeah, Linwood, Washington is actually north of Seattle by about 15 minutes. There's two major interstates, actually three, but two of them intersect in Linwood, I-5 and I-405. Linwood Linwood proper has about 35,000 people, but if you drive 15 minutes north, south, east, or west, you'll run into about 800,000 people. So it's a huge community. It's right there at the crossroads and intersection. A lot of malls and movie theaters, and of course Starbucks is everywhere. But it's a cultural hub, and they're kind of turning into like a little mini downtown as well, is their future. So a lot of homes, a lot of people. It's called the minivan capital of the world just because of families and people that are moving in. So it's a great area.
You've had a chance this morning to kind of experience 24. What 24 is going to look like. What about your church? What will it look like? Will it be similar to 24? Will it kind of explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it'll be similar to 24 in a lot of different ways. One, we don't have a lot of money as far as what you guys say. And so we'll be making use of what we have as best we can. It'll have a lot of the same feel as far as we'll probably be meeting either in a school or a community center or a movie theater, something like that. Style-wise, things like that, it'll look a lot the same as far as more kind of contemporary, relevant worship, those kind of things. Our purpose statement, not to sound too commercial here, is simply this, is to connect God or connect people to Jesus Christ, community, and to service. The name of the church is going to be called Connect Church, which really speaks to the need of the people up there and really across the United States. A lot of times we're guilty, even though we live in one of the most, you know, the country's the largest it's ever been, we're probably the most disconnected from individuals as we get in our cars, in our garages, drive out, go work to at our cubicle or whatever the case may be, come home, and hardly have any interaction with other people. And our goal is to connect people. That purpose statement will really drive what we do. They'll connect to Jesus through a worship service like this. They'll connect to community through connection groups or small groups. And then they'll connect to service through mission projects, ministry teams, things like that. We value real quickly about seven things, Scripture being one of them. That's a given. Here, but not so much up there. Even a lot of the Baptist churches up there are very liberal in their theology and straying from Scripture. And so the Scripture is obviously going to be our foundation for all that we say and do. We're going to be valuing relevance, being relevant to the community and presenting the gospel in a way and in a fashion and a model that people can understand while not compromising the theological truths. Also big in a community as far as connecting people to each other. The other things real quickly are missional, which Chris has already talked about and hit on a lot. The idea of us as church members being missionaries to the schools, to our workplaces, to our families, whatever the case may be. Also simplicity. I think churches get too bogged down in too many peripheral things.
We
forsake the gospel in the process. Excellence, doing everything to the best of our ability. And then finally, the thing that I'm really passionate about is it's about people. I am so sick and tired of churches spending millions and billions of dollars on our little mega structures we basically turn our hands away from the real needs out there, which is presenting the gospel and meeting people's needs. And so our goal will be, you know, obviously we'll have to have a building at some point, but to maybe not build the Taj Mahal, but to instead build, you know, a community center that can reach out and be an impact to the community.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's awesome. What's the, you know, I know this is probably one of those things that I remember when I was at your spot, you know, with 24 and, you know, thinking through this, what the timeline of this thing, what do you kind of see happening here? And that's, you're gauging this, and we've even one of those scrolls that we've got is a timeline that we wrote back in April or March of 04. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, because of the difficulty in launching a church in Seattle, we don't have any friends there. Well, we have two that are there up there planting a church, but 2 out of 5 million is not good odds. So we're going to have to take a long time to basically get everything revved up and prepared. So our goal is to spend the next 5 months fundraising and building partnerships and developing a core group here in the Southeast. We will move then in April of next year, 2008. And then we'll spend a couple months just getting into the schools and getting to know the territory and getting to know our neighbors. In the fall, we'll probably start some home groups at our house and then try to launch some preview services and go public by April of 2009. So this is still a good year and a half out. But as you guys know, in order to do anything well and to put together something like this of this magnitude, you've got to take some time to put it all together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's super important.
Well, just like we talked to Megan about, what are some things we can do as a church? Because we were blessed to have some church, other outside church help as a church as we started this thing. What can we do for you as a church?
Partnerships is the biggest thing we're trying to develop right now to help facilitate some of our biggest needs. We're partnering with the North American Mission Board, with their state convention and with their state association or their local association. But we're really trying to partner with churches here. This is the staggering part. This is the part that my wife and I take a big gulp before we try to go into. Our church, to start a two-year church plan or a two-year budget for a church plan in the Northwest, our budget is going to be around $645,000. That is to pay for, is it time for lunch?
It's
okay. Y'all love that, don't you?
Okay. You like 2% or chocolate milk?
Yeah. Jungle juice.
Yeah. It's going to take about $645,000 to fund a church. That will include staff salaries. That will include equipment, space rental.
Say again how much we'll take?
$645,000. Yeah.
Let me ask this question real quick. How much, if you know, and this is kind of an odd question to ask maybe, and people will get this here in a second. How much did it cost for you to buy your house in East Nashville, which is a nice, small house?
Yeah, our home was $115,000, somewhere along in there,
$115,000 in East Nashville. Your home in Seattle, what would that home cost in Seattle?
Our home in Seattle would cost around $300,000. And so most of the homes in Lynnwood that we're going to be looking at are anywhere between $450,000 and $500,000. That's just move-in price. And so they know... And they're not even brick. That's the crazy thing. It's all wood. So
like double wides and yeah. stuff, aren't they?
So, yeah, they encourage you to move into a new community so that you can get to know people. And like I said, that is one of the biggest costs that we're having to get our mind around. Our standard of living really won't change. We'll still be driving the same cars, still shopping at the Northwest equivalent of Aldi or, you know, Dollar General. But we'll just have a little bit bigger home, obviously, to host a church in for the first year. And so it's just an astronomical amount of money. But again, if the gospel is, and I think that's part of the reason the gospel really hasn't gotten up there as easily, because it is much more difficult financially to plant. So the big three areas that we're going to need help with are obviously prayer, just as Megan alluded to. My view of this whole thing is nothing's going to take place without a just solid foundation of core group of people praying and lifting us up and the different needs and challenges that we may face. Obviously, giving is a big part. We're going to have to unashamedly ask for help financially. Again, this is you're not buying me a Lexus.
Part of it.
You're just helping.
And
start
if you don't
a
raise the money, nobody's going to raise it for you.
Right. And so I'll be working at Starbucks probably if this doesn't help out. And then finally, we're actually doing the crazy thing of asking people to go. There are some of you maybe in here that God is putting on your heart that kind of area. And so we've actually already presented this to a few families and friends to say, we want you to pray about not being on staff of the church, but just taking your whole family and moving them up there, and you being one of the founding members to help out and to get to know people and to serve. And then also just through short-term mission trips, we're asking people to come up, helping with things like backyard Bible clubs and sports camps and knocking on doors and things like that.
Dale, we want to help you, and we'd like to help you in all of those ways if possible. 24, I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the staff and the finance team that we want to financially somehow try to support. It may not be like what a lot of other people could do, but we want to do some of that. We want to do the mission trips. We'd love to send anybody in here like Nirvana. Anybody, any Nirvana fans? Just quick.
Coffee,
okay.
Rain.
All of those people are
Grace
available.
Anatomy.
All of those people that just raised their hand are available to go to Seattle with you and to move there. Seriously, there may be somebody here that is, and you need to pray about that. And this is a big deal. As crazy as that sounds, we asked people the same thing, and there were, you wouldn't believe how many people moved to this area. A lot of them were college students and whatnot, but lots of people moved here to help start 24 Church, and that's an amazing thing to me. And God will provide those people for you. One of the ways that we're wanting to help you, we're already beginning to try to help you do some design and print work, similar to types of stuff that we do, only for you. And so one of the things that we're doing is we've been working on that. David's been working on that, and Jerry has even been helping out with some of that, and we got this for you. And it's just a little something. It's not anything big, but I want you to check it out, and you'll be able to take this and use it. So let's check this out and see what this is. You can use that for whatever you want to.
That's
just
more than I could do.
Sit around and watch it at the house if you want to, I guess.
Just dream.
But seriously, God has given us talent sometimes, and sometimes it's just, sharing that with people, and we want to do that for you. It's a huge deal. It's not just Dale doing this here. Dale is married to Tina, and you guys have two little girls. How old is
Hannah is 3 and a half almost, mm-hmm. and Caitlin is 7 months.
7 months. And right in the smack dab of the middle of all this, when, Dale was trying to figure out what God was teaching him, and showing him to do, they show up pregnant. And Dale goes, we're pregnant. And I'm like, surprise, surprise, It's you know, and it's just one of those things that when you trust God and you just follow Him and just do what He calls you to do, you just do it. And He's going to take care of you. And Dale, He is going to take care of you guys. Tina, He's going to take care of you guys. I will spare us the grief and the time of me telling stories, but God has taken care of us in so many ways, and He's going to do that for you guys. And I want to pray for you this morning and lift you guys up, if that's okay. Let me pray for us. God, thank You so much for Dale and for Tina and their willingness to follow You. God, to reach people, God, that have gone unreached by You, and Lord, a lot of that just due to the fact that maybe folks maybe haven't been obedient. God, I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would see that our obedience in serving You and in who You've called us to be, whether it's starting a brand new church in Seattle, Washington, or whether it's helping hold a baby in the nursery of the church that we serve at, if it's helping park a car, that, God, it is all for Your kingdom. God, and how awesome that is for us to know that we can make a difference in other people's lives by serving You, by loving others. God, just be with Dale and be with Tina during this time in their life. God, just grant them everything that they need to do what You've called them to do. Provide the money, provide the support, provide the people. God, move in ways, Lord, begin to just even prepare Seattle, Washington, Linwood, Washington, God, for the arrival of this church. God, and just use it to do amazing things. May it be a Bible-speaking church, and God, one that You are just going to breathe life into the lives of people through it. Lord, just use Dale and all the gifts that You've gifted him with to lead others to You. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for allowing us to partner with others in this. In Your name I pray. Amen.